started. It's Friday afternoon, and your work week is over.
Jackpot.
Take a load off and get in the last word with Matt Taylor and Jimmy Mad Dog Matus from the Taco Bell studio.
Yo, welcome. This is the last word on a Friday night. I'm Matt Taylor alongside Jimmy Mad Dog Matus. FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. We're coming to you live from the Taco Bell studio at the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center. How was your week, Jimmy?
Week is good, man. Week was rolling by and getting geared up for a lot of snow, sleet, and rain.
We flipped the calendar right to March, but it really doesn't matter, right? It really doesn't matter at this point.
Unbelievable.
We had the same issues last year. Remember that? We were going into boys' sectional finals. We're always getting this last-ditch blast of snow from Mother Nature.
Have you gotten the, it always happens around sectional time, yet? Because that's it. Snow's coming in. Yeah, must be sectional time.
Get out the Farmer's Almanac.
It's also still winter. So maybe that's more why there's snow in the air.
March really doesn't matter. You know, it's all
good. Now it's sectional time.
But your Hoosiers last night, right?
They finally put a couple of
hats
together.
They played well.
They did. We'll see. They've got some more.
You don't sound too optimistic.
Well, you have to. I'm a huge IU fan, as you know, but you have to look at the entire year and what they've done. And so far, I don't know that they've given us enough to think that they can put it together for the games they're going to have to put it together for. And we'll see. I watch every minute and love watching it. Had a good game the other day. We'll see what they do against Ohio State.
Yeah, every minute is an adventure. There's no doubt about that. Coming up on the show, a lot of Colts football to get to. Several items were discussed by Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson. They met with the media last week at the Combine. Kevin Bowen from Colts.com, our resident insider, he's going to be here later on in the show to discuss some of those off-season topics. Also, Vic Ballard will be on the program to talk about how his off-season's going, his rehab. He's coming off ACL, that tear that he had early in the season, and when we can expect him back on the field. A lot of NFL items to get to. We'll do that in the segment two with NFL quick hits. Here on segment one, we always like to talk about what's going on in the world of sports, and we do that on headlines. All right, college basketball, dog. The Shockers, should they be a number one seed? Wichita State, they're all alone in the record book. They're the first men's Division I basketball team to reach 30 wins in the regular season. They have one more game to go in the regular year tomorrow against Missouri State. The last team to finish a regular season unbeaten was St. Joseph's in 03-04 when they went 27-0. But let me ask you this. Even if Wichita State doesn't win their conference tournament, so they would have a blemish on their record heading into the big dance, are they deserving of a number one seed?
Yes. Yes, I think absolutely. There are those who will say no, if they're not undefeated, their conference isn't strong enough that they should get a number one. I think that's bogus. I think when you play that many games and turn in that many consistent performances, you've shown you deserve to be a number one seed, and then you go play and see what happens.
You know, the Missouri Valley, it's not the SEC or the ACC, but it's not eighth grade CYO basketball either, right?
Indeed.
I mean, 29 straight wins, or 30 straight wins in this case. The great teams have a couple of slip-ups in conference play, but they are an exceptional team, an extraordinary team. And, you know, the Syracuse, they lost at home to Boston College. You know, that's a bad loss. Wichita State has avoided all bad losses.
Watch Wichita State play and tell me they're not one of the better basketball teams in the country. Can they win it all? I don't know. They're going to have to beat a lot of good teams to do it, but they are very, very good.
Have you watched any spring training games yet? They've been on television now.
Indeed. It's wall-to-wall everything anymore. I was Twitter the other day, and they showed Jameis Winston as an at-bat against the Yankees. I was all excited about watching it, and all they showed was one fastball strike that he looked at for strike three out. That was it. But, yeah, it's everywhere. I've not yet seen – I've seen a little college baseball.
Yeah, it's a good sign that spring is on its way, but the weather is not cooperating. But opening day will be here before you know it. And should that be a holiday? Former Cardinals shortstop Ozzie Smith wants the federal government to make opening day of the baseball season a national holiday. The Hall of Fame shortstop is leading a campaign to collect 100,000 signatures within 30 days under the We the People petitioning program, which would trigger a review of the Obama administration. The effort is also being backed by Budweiser. Obviously, a beer company wants to see a holiday.
This new law brought to you by Budweiser.
Budweiser. All right. Are you in favor of this? Would you sign the petition, Doggy?
I thought opening day of baseball already was a national holiday.
Right? Yeah.
You know, if you want to go to a game, go to a game. You know, take the day off and go to a game. No, I don't believe it should be a national holiday.
Really?
I believe the day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday.
I believe that the Super Bowl should be played Saturday night.
Just play it on Sunday and make Monday a national holiday.
I'm with you. It's not like people wouldn't watch, though, on Saturday night for the Super Bowl.
I think you can even move one of the existing holidays to that day, can't you?
Like Columbus Day?
You know, I don't know that Columbus Day has to be on a certain day.
Very good.
Right? We don't know exactly when he got lost and landed. I think, whatever, if they do, but no, I think it's kind of foolish. Take the day off.
Most people take a day off anyways,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying.
All right, we got Indy 500 news. The return of Villeneuve. The Indy Star reported earlier this week that the 1995 Indy 500 champ Jacques Villeneuve is coming back this May to drive the third car of Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. We could also see in the field this year Juan Pablo Montoya and Kurt Busch. And that's a star-studded lineup in the field of 33 in May. Is that enough to attract some fringe fans this May if those guys are in the field with stars already like Kanaan, Dixon, Castroneves, etc.?
I don't know about fringe fans, but I think it'll bring fans. I think guys that are already into racing but recognize those drivers as quality drivers might be a bit more excited. But I'll tell you what, if you've watched these races over the last couple of years,
yeah,
they are competitive races. They are good, good races. If you are a fan of racing, the racing product that they've put on has been very, very good, at least in my opinion. When you ever can add people that are good at their game, add them, and you got a better product. And so I think it will attract more fans.
Well, that's just it. He's a name, right? I mean, people know him.
And he got a name
by winning the deal.
But you, right. Yeah, so he got his name by being good.
Right.
So the more good guys you have back in there, the better you go. So, you know, I'm an old guy, so because of that, I remember the 500 as being, hey, bring a car, any car. If it goes fast, jump in it and go, right? And that was really the lure. They've got away from that, so you need these drivers to come in that you can see. You know, they're all in about the same car, and yet some guys are much, much better than others.
Full steam ahead now for the Pacers. Last night, they eked out a victory against the Milwaukee Bucks. The other night, they dismantled the Lakers at home. Tomorrow, they are in Boston. Sunday, they welcome in the Utah Jazz. Both of those teams that the Pacers are playing this weekend are well under 500. But the Heat, they're coming on strong now, only two games back in the Eastern Conference standings, and they have a similarly easy schedule coming up. I guess it goes back to what we talked about last week, Dog. Every game now for the blue and gold, it's like a playoff game with the Heat clipping at their heels.
I think for the most part, they've attacked the entire season
right
that way.
Mm-hmm.
They made no bones about the fact that that was their goal, is to be the number one seed, and they've played accordingly. Throughout 82 games, you're going to stumble a bit in the NBA, right? But I think for the most part, they've delivered a great effort each and every night out. The difference is the Heat, by the way, pretty good. And they're right there. What concerns me is if, in fact, the Pacers fall short of the number one seed, how will that affect them? Because they have put so much into getting that one seed. And obviously, with only a two-game lead, that's and both of them are playing in the East, so both of them have some pretty easy schedules.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly, the Pacers want the top seed. And it's all going to boil down to who takes care of business on a more consistent basis against these bottom dwellers in the Eastern Conference. You never know when a loss to the Bobcats or the Celtics or the Jazz, in the weekend's case for the Pacers, you never know when a game like that is going to cost you at the end of the season. So it's whoever takes care of business more consistently
down the
stretch.
And I think the Pacers will. I think they've shown that they will, and I expect them to be the number one seed.
I like it. Those were the headlines on this Friday, February 28th. College basketball continues this weekend. Also on the show, Kevin Bowen from Colts.com will be here. Vic Ballard will be here discussing his offseason rehab plan. Coming up on the next segment, it's NFL Quick Hits. Should the NFL install a penalty for players using the N-word? Why is there so much tension between Jim Harbaugh and the 49ers? And some NFL insiders are teeing off on Johnny Manziel. What's that all about? We'll go over those stories and more coming up next. This is The Last Word. Stay with us. FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Your weekend starts now with Jimmy Mad Dog Matus and Matt Taylor on The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Look, man, you can listen to Jimmy Dog, but you gotta hear Jimmy.
You're listening, but you're not here.
You can listen to Jimmy, but you can't hear him. There's a difference. Just because you're listening doesn't mean you can hear him.
White Man Can't Jump is one of those movies, and if it's on, you're in.
Right?
Right. I don't care what's going on.
Preferably like on HBO or something.
You could be getting ready for 10:30 Mass, but if you're flipping channels and it's on, you're going to noon. You know, it's the way it is. Or at this least happened to me many times.
At least set your DVR. Move over, Rover.
Not me. It's
Jimmy
new Mass. I'm
just
coming here.
Over. All right. Yes. Fair enough. Hey, NFL Quick Hits. This segment's always brought to you by Meijer. Enjoy simple savings with M-Perks digital coupons and rewards. Choose your own savings from hundreds of offers every week. Just clip your digital coupon. Redeem the savings at your Meijer store. Go to mperks.meijer.com to sign up. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. Time now for those Quick Hits.
They're going to come after you. You got to make them pay, y'all.
They will not run this ball today.
NFL Quick Hits are coming at you.
All right, NFL Quick Hit number one, a sensitive subject. The NFL may implement a new rule this offseason calling for a 15-yard penalty for any player who uses a racial slur on the field, and some believe that the league will make it an automatic 15-yard penalty if a player uses the N-word, an automatic ejection for that player who does it twice. However, the NFL may find such a rule tough for its officials to implement. It's obviously there's some gray area here. Let me ask you this, Dog. Is this a good rule in theory but not in reality because it'll be hard to govern?
I don't believe it's a good rule, period. Okay. And here's why. Why do we want the referees to be the ones in charge of this? That, to me, is passing the buck. To me, it should start in the locker room. It needs to start with the general manager and the owner, down to the coaches, down to the players, that this is how we are going to behave. This is what we are going to do. We are going to be examples to those fans watching us and following our lead. I think getting it down to an official with a yellow flag is just passing the buck to something and a place where it shouldn't be. If we are going to make real changes in this world, we have to do it ourselves. We have to hold ourselves accountable to things, and we need to teach others around us that this is how we're going to behave. And I believe to do it on the field with a yellow flag is wrong.
Very well said, by the way.
I've thought about it quite a bit. We keep wanting to put Band-Aids on things instead of fixing things. This starts with waking up in the morning saying, this is how I'm going to behave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where it's got to be. Not real funny stuff, I'll give you, but that's what I think.
But, hey, very well said. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Members of certain races sometimes use slurs among themselves with no offense or you know, no offense intended or taken, you know? If one African-American player uses the N-word toward another black player, a white official could hear it and throw a penalty flag, which may open up a can of worms that the NFL would rather not deal with.
We just got to go that way. You can say some incredibly wrong, mean, hurtful things without using that word.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You can get your point across.
Right? And so should you be allowed to do that without a penalty? Penalties are for holding and pass interference and things like that, not for the way you handle yourself as a human being.
NFL Quick Hit 2.
All right, tensions in San Fran. Things are not getting better behind the scenes for the 49ers. There's a rift between Coach Jim Harbaugh and the team's front office. It doesn't seem like it's going to go away anytime soon either, and there's increasing buzz that the team might have to decide between Harbaugh or the general manager, Trent Baalke. The men are barely speaking, and all communication is through email, reportedly. Harbaugh also has a strained relationship with the team president and he has clashed with many inside the organization. What's the remedy in San Francisco for this particular situation?
I think the remedy is that Jim Harbaugh would be gone. Right? If he cannot get along with the folks that he needs to get along with, you can't operate a successful business that way. So somebody's got to go, and if somebody's got to go, it would probably be the coach, not all the other people that you mentioned. Right? If it was just a general manager and a coach and that was it, they didn't like each other. But you start talking about presidents and other people and this sort of thing, I think at some point in time, he would be gone.
Yeah, but if you're the team president and if you're general manager Trent Baalke, you knew this was likely to happen when you hired him. You knew his personality. You knew that he was a fiery guy that was stubborn, that it was his way or the highway in a lot of issues. I think if anybody needs to go, it's Baalke, because the results are there. Clearly, he's a good coach. They've been to the NFC Championship game all 3 years, at least that level all 3 years that he's been there. I think the general manager would need to go because it's not like this is new. It's not like you didn't expect this to happen. It's unfortunate that it's going on, but I think I think a remedy would be for the general manager to go. He's easily replaceable, more so than Harbaugh, I think.
Well, here's the deal, though. Doesn't the general manager hire the coach?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So since the general manager hires the coach, the general manager can fire the coach.
He can fire the coach, but I'm saying when you hired him, you knew what kind of personality he had. You knew this was a possibility.
I guess. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe you just thought that energetic coach and he's going to be fiery there, but he'll still work with me on a few things.
I just think good coaches are hard to find, so let's put up with this guy's nonsense because the results are there. We've had success the last 3 years.
I'm just saying, if Kathy gets mad, I'm the one moving out of the house, all right? That's all I'm saying.
You're the one going on the couch. Fair enough. All right, God said leave. Quick hit three on Sunday. San Diego State running back Adam Moema. I hope I'm getting that right. Moema. He left the scouting combine for religious reasons, and his whereabouts are unknown. Moema hasn't been in touch with those closest to him, and no one seems to know where he is. He left because God said he has a plan for him, and that his plans involves Moema getting drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. Moema said that God told him to skip the combine workouts, and if he did, he'd get drafted by Seattle. Publicity stunt or a good career strategy move?
I don't think it's either. I don't think it's a publicity stunt, because if it is, I mean, it's the worst one ever. And good career strategy, no way. But it's hard to comment on what people feel and really believe and
bizarre. It's bizarre.
It's exceptionally bizarre. It's something certainly out of the ordinary, and good luck to the young man. Yeah, I hope things work out for him.
It's bizarre. Moving on.
NFL quick hit four.
We're teeing off on Johnny Manziel. Former NFL quarterback and current ESPN analyst Ron Jaworski is not high on Johnny Football. Jaws doesn't think anyone should take Johnny Football in the first three rounds of the upcoming draft. Barry Switzer, who we all know won three national championships in college with Oklahoma, won a Super Bowl in the NFL. He had even stronger words for Manziel. Switzer, in an interview with a St. Louis radio station this week, said, "I don't like his antics. I think he's an arrogant little P-word. And it's not punk. I've said that. I'll say it again. He's a privileged kid. He's embarrassed himself. He's embarrassed his teammates. And he's embarrassed his coaches." Man, those are strong words, right? From a guy that's on the outside looking in. Would you have any hesitations if you're a general manager? Would you have any hesitations on drafting this guy, knowing he's got some character flaws off the field?
I might have some hesitation after I've talked to him and confirmed that he has those flaws, but I don't know how much time Barry Switzer has spent.
Come on, Barry.
With Johnny Manziel. Maybe he spent a great deal of time. Maybe he's a family friend. I don't know, but he's not anymore, obviously. And obviously Ron Jaworski knows an awful lot about quarterbacks, and he studies it more than perhaps anyone. So I would look at him, but I'd look for more what he's going to do. Now, whether Johnny Manziel is a first-rounder or a third-rounder, these GMs, these scouts, they'll hash it out. They'll figure it out. But just by going by mere reports, I don't know that Johnny Manziel is this or that because I've never spoken to him. So I try my best.
I don't know, Johnny.
Not just to listen to a rant from Barry Switzer and decide that Johnny Manziel's not a good guy.
It'll all be settled on the field.
Bottom line is that's where, you know, he can be whatever you, that word you were getting at is,
yep.
As long as he throws four touchdown passes.
It's all good.
NFL quick hit five.
I love this story. It's positive. Get a job, pal. Many NFL players will go to malls this offseason, but Matt Elam is working in one. Elam was a first-round pick by Baltimore last year, but he's spending his offseason as a part-time sales associate at a Finish Line in Gainesville, Florida, before he returns to the team in April for OTAs. He says he works about 20 hours a week because his goal is to one day own his own sports merchandise store. He applied. Now, this is an interesting part of the story. He applied to five stores before Finish Line finally hired him. We don't want a professional athlete who's going to bring all kinds of publicity and all kinds of customers in our store. No, we don't want that. Get out of here. The guy makes $3.7 million a year, or at least he did last year, but he's working part-time 20 hours a week. I love it. It's great.
Here is a guy who obviously is practicing what is preached to all kids, to all young men and women, prepare for the future. When you're an athlete, yeah, he made a lot of money, but that athletic window is a short one.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal is to own a sports merchandising company, store, after he retires. He's taking his off seasons now to get in there, work, learn, watch, and prepare. And, boy, this is a story that needs to get out because this is a story that high school players should be looking at. Look, here's a guy with some proper perspective. He's not going to wait till he's done and figure out what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's preparing now. I love that story.
Yeah, good for him to have a
and I love plan. The Finish Line, by the way.
Yeah, have a plan after you're done playing. You know, a lot of guys wait till, you know, the year before to, should I go into broadcasting? Should I start my own business? Should I buy a nightclub? He's got it all figured out. And
he probably gets a discount on shoes.
Those Reeboks are 10% off.
Nike.
All right, very good. Those are the NFL quick hits. We talk about the NFL and the top storylines every week here on The Last Word. We'll continue to talk football and stay close to home. We'll talk Colts next segment. We'll go one-on-one with Kevin Bowen. He'll be in the studio. Kevin from Colts.com. Also joining us will be Vic Ballard. Stay tuned for that. That and more straight ahead. This is The Last Word.
We feel great. Our 12th man stood up today, and they screamed their butts off.
A bunch of different guys making plays.
He's hit as he throws the ball loose. It's picked up by Walden.
Just the way the team, we stuck together. We kept fighting. Just showed what type of team we had.
Way downfield to T.Y. He's got it. He's going to score. He's going to score.
You know, you always want to win at home. We've got such great fans.
He's going to take it himself. He's going to bootleg it and score. Andrew Luck from 6 yards out.
It's time for Off-Season Horseshoe FAQ on The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Last segment, we talked NFL quick hits. We went around the league. Now let's stay close to home. Let's talk Colts. And to do that, we welcome in Kevin Bowen from Colts.com, our resident insider. I'm Matt Taylor. Inside the Taco Bell studio, The Last Word continues on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. KB, welcome.
Hey, Tay, how's it going?
Doing okay now that the combine is over.
Definitely nice to have that out of the way. Free agency on the calendar. And I think I speak for both of us in saying happy to see a little spring training.
Yes, right?
Happy to see the Reds out there in Goodyear getting started out there. Played the Indians earlier this week. So, yeah. I'm happy for baseball. It doesn't feel like baseball weather, but eventually, hopefully it will.
About 4 weeks, it'll feel like baseball weather, although it doesn't feel like it right now. There's no doubt about that. I'm glad to see the combine come and go just because I don't look forward to it. We don't get to see the workouts. We're not a part of the decision.
Right.
So we're almost as if we're covering like this blind event. You know,
when you don't have a first round pick, I think that takes a little of the intrigue out of it as well. And once Friday happened and Chuck and Ryan talked, it was kind of like, what's the news value? You had the Michael Sam on Saturday, but there wasn't really anything Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday to talk about. But it is nice to have all that access to virtually every NFL GM and head coach there. And it is nice to learn about something about future Colts opponents and maybe even a few future Colts.
Yeah, well, the biggest question posed to those guys, Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson, at the combine was how they're approaching this draft without the first round pick. And for fans without that first round pick, takes some of the buzz away from the draft. But I guess the good news in all of this is that if there ever was a year to get quality players in later rounds, it would be this year because, according to most, this is a deep draft.
Yeah, 98 underclassmen, which is a record, have announced that they're coming out for the 2014 draft. And by all accounts, every GM at the Combine said that this is the deepest draft that they have seen in a long, long time. And good news for the Colts is it's very top-heavy with quarterbacks, offensive tackles. You would think those are two positions that definitely the Colts are locked up in with guys to share list, Anthony Costanzo, and then obviously Andrew Luck. I think the biggest question now is, what do you do at 59? Do you stay pat, you know, there in the second round, or do you move up? And we have seen in years past, teams that move up into the first round, it's going to cost you a lot. We saw the Vikings last year. They moved up to 29 to get Cordarrelle Patterson out of Tennessee. And by all accounts, he was really one of the best rookies in the NFL last year. But they gave up their second and third and fourth round picks to move up and get Patterson at 29. So if the Colts are going to move up come May 8th, it's going to cost them a lot. It's already a draft where you don't have a ton of picks to begin with. So I think staying pat at 59 is the most likely option. Let those guys fall to you. We're already seeing some mock drafts come out. We have seen guys that were supposed to go in the first round, maybe they had a weak combine or something, are starting to fall a little bit. So I think you still can get some quality there at 59.
Like we said, Ryan Grigson met with the media last week at the NFL Scouting Combine. He talked about the depth of this year's class, including several juniors, and how that impacts the team not having the first-round draft pick.
From looking at it in our draft board, in the meetings you know, we had with the scouts, it's heavy with juniors up near the top. And, you know, that's going to push down some of those seniors and push down some of those other players that would have been taking higher. So I think just good, you know, scouting 101 draft common sense, I mean, that would, you would just assume that there is going to be players in those mid rounds that's going to be heavy with talent that maybe in other drafts you wouldn't have been able to get. You have to take them a couple rounds higher. So I'm excited, and I think a lot of other general managers and coaches are excited as well, because I think this is going to be a deep draft class.
This is Horseshoe FAQ. We're spending it with Kevin Bowen, insider for Colts.com. I'm Matt Taylor here on The Last Word, FM 107.5 and 1070. The Fan, we're talking Colts football. Kevin, I had a chance to visit with Coach Pagano last week for our TV show, Colts Up Close, and he discussed that maybe there's a plan in place to bring back Vontae Davis. I certainly don't want to speak for him or for anybody in the organization, Ryan Grigson included, but logic would tell you that the Colts are very high on the notion of bringing him back and him being the linchpin in the secondary for next season.
And I got that same feeling. He was on with JMV last week at the Combine as well, and I kind of got the same impression that there is a plan in place to bring back Davis. And we have talked about how both sides, there is a mutual agreement, and I honestly think that both sides want to be here. Ever since Davis got traded here in Indianapolis, he has raved about playing under Chuck Pagano, former defensive backs coach, and coming here to a new environment, a fresh start for him, coming back to the Midwest where he played his college football over at Illinois. And Davis was, I think people kind of underestimate how good of a player he was last year for this team. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the third-ranked corner last year, number one cover corner. So, yes, there were some ups and downs, but I think for this defense and for this secondary, having him back there is a must, considering you did have some injury problems with Greg Toler. Darius Butler, I think, is more of a nickel guy and a very good one at that. And this was a Colts secondary, though. When healthy, was a top five, top 10 unit. And then once that Denver game happened, when you started to lose some guys throughout the season, you kind of saw that secondary fall off a bit. So I think to get back up in that upper echelon of the NFL, it starts with bringing back Davis, and really at any price, I think.
All right, let's stay in the Colts secondary and discuss Antoine Bethea, another key free agent for the Colts, and a key free agent when you consider that he's a fan favorite here. A lot of people recognize him. He's been here a long time. I think the biggest positive for Antoine, when you weigh the pros and cons and bringing him back, is that he's consistent. He's durable. He's always there, and you can always count on him. He started 96 consecutive games. That leads all active safeties. He's played in 122 games, or I should say he's played in all 122 games that he's been active for. And I remember when Reggie Wayne talked in training camp, you know, he likes the number of receptions that he gets, the yards receiving, but what he's most proud of is that he's always there. He's there to answer the bell and be there for his teammates. And you can say the same thing about Antoine.
Durable is the word that you use. I think that perfectly describes him. The last time he missed a game, Andrew Luck was a senior in high school. It's pretty remarkable to think, you know, just how long Antoine has been in the lineup. And he is a consistent guy, six straight 100-tackle seasons for him. And in a banged-up secondary with Toler and Laron Landry missing some games last year, that factor of durability is very high on my board. There isn't a lot of depth at safety. Sergio Brown is more of a special teams guy. Delano Howell has battled some injuries here early in his career. So for me, if you don't re-sign Bethea, where do you go? Do you go out and, you know, spend a lot on a Jairus Byrd out of Buffalo? I think a lot of Colts fans have their eyes on. For me, he turns 30 in July. I think he is a key guy to bring back. He hasn't got the same amount of attention as Vontae Davis has during the offseason, but I think he's a horseshoe guy. And I was thinking about this earlier today, Matt. Besides Robert Mathis and Antoine Bethea, who's your next longest tenured Colt on the defensive side of the ball? I mean, Pat Anger is a free agent. Cavell Connor is a free agent. Ricardo Matthews is a free agent. I mean, there is not a lot of veteran leadership on that side of the ball, considering guys that have been here for multiple years. So I think bringing Antoine back is definitely a key for the secondary.
I'm trying to think, I mean, Redding's been here a couple years. Right. Landry just last year. Darius Butler the last 2 years.
I think Sergio Brown maybe has been here for 3 years. But, again, just as really as a special teams guy. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think Antoine definitely deserves to come back and play. And I believe it'll be his ninth season here in Indy.
I would agree. Radio color analyst for the Colts, Jim Sorgi, earlier this week weighed in on Antoine Bethea.
Well, he was a steal for a six-round draft pick. Let's be honest. He's a guy that's been there. He was a rock from one era to the next. Mm-hmm. He's a leader. He's a voice in the locker room that when he talks, guys are going to listen. Football's in his DNA. And like you said, last 6 seasons, he's been there every game. He's had a great last 6 seasons. I think he's had over 100 tackles in every year but one, and that was in 2009. The thing about Antoine is he does turn 30 in July. So you don't know exactly how much is left in the tank. You don't know how much money he's asking for, the Colts are willing to give him. So it'll be an interesting subject for the next, month or so, the way that plays out. We want him back. He wants to come back. But is there a right number that everybody feels happy with and comfortable with for him to come back?
That's Jim Sorgi. That excerpt taken from Colts Up Close, our weekly television show, which airs tomorrow night, Saturday nights at 11:30 on Wish TV. You can hear Jim and I's conversation in more detail on Antoine Bethea on the show again tomorrow night, 11:30 on Wish TV. I'm Matt Taylor inside the Taco Bell studio here on Horseshoe FAQ, frequently asked questions on the Colts, spending that time with Kevin Bowen, our resident insider from Colts.com. Earlier this week, KB, Andrew Luck was on SiriusXM and talked about last season, cutting down on the turnovers, the interceptions from a year ago, among other things. He also talked about what Trent Richardson can gain from having an entire offseason under his belt with the Colts. Here's Andrew Luck talking about the future for Trent Richardson with the Colts.
I think very bright. I think you forget, you mentioned he comes in the middle of the season. He doesn't have a training camp to learn the offense. And the offense is no piece of cake to learn. So I think he's going to have a big old jump. I think this offseason is going to be great for him, for all of us, offensively. And we know how talented he is. He does it every day in practice, and he's got a great work ethic. So excited to work with him again this year.
Trent Richardson working in with the Colts in the offseason, having a full offseason. That's not the first time I've heard this.
Right.
Why is it so important for Trent to have a full offseason? Why is it so important for running backs in a general sense to have a full offseason under the belt, more so than other positions on offense?
I think you can make the argument for different spots on both sides of the ball where it comes in. I remember Ryan Grigson a couple years ago was talking about how it's easier maybe for a rookie corner to come in because you're sort of on an island out there and you aren't really needing all 11 guys on the defensive side of the ball to know what each one of them is doing. As far as Trent, it's just a fresh start. I mean, this guy thought he was the face of the franchise in week 3 of the season, and then he's traded midweek. He comes in, he's playing on the first series against one of the best defenses in the NFL in the 49ers. So I think it's just calming him down. Let his family move to Indy. It's a fresh start for him. Let him rest up a little bit. I know he's banged up throughout the year, and they mentioned, shoulder procedure for him. Nothing too serious. Should be ready for OTA. So I think that is the biggest thing for Trent. He talked about during the playoffs too, before the Kansas City game, how he comes here to Indianapolis and he kind of sees the same culture he saw at Alabama. Saw a winning culture, some blue collar guys that all they care about is winning. And I think that is something that he was really speaking from the heart when he was saying that. So I think having a full offseason, and Andrew Luck knows how important a running game is, just asked him about his days at Stanford. I think those two will get together, and I really expect Trent to have a very, very productive offseason and a strong start to the 2014 campaign. Pair him with Vic Ballard, who I think also had a very nice rookie season coming off an injury as well. And whoever you go out and get as your third running back, if it's a Donald Brown, a Ahmad Bradshaw, or maybe someone that's not in the building right now, I think the Colts' backfield is primed for a breakout season in 2014.
Okay, we mentioned Dwayne Allen and Reggie Wayne. Another guy who's coming off of a season-ending injury is Vic Ballard. He had a solid rookie season. He rushed for over 800 yards, and then we all know that freakish injury that ACL Terry had leading into the Week 2 game. We don't know what the running back situation is going to be for next year because free agency hasn't unfolded yet, Ahmad Bradshaw and Donald Brown. But we do know two guys will be back next year, Vic Ballard and Trent Richardson. And on paper, with Vic being healthy and we think with Trent benefiting from a full off season, that should be a pretty decent 1-2 punch.
And I think Vic is very genuine in the sense of how much he likes having a second back there, how he can really feed off having another back, how it's a fresh start for him. I think late in his rookie season, he was getting banged up. I mean, he was really the lone bell cow for this team.
Well, he was carrying the ball 23, 25 times a game.
And he started the last 11 games of his rookie season after being drafted in the fifth round. This is a guy that ran for 2,100 yards in his two seasons in the SEC. I mean, that's the hardest conference in college football. He's doing it at Mississippi State and in that division where you have the Alabamas and the LSUs, and obviously, that was a power conference and division, really, when Ballard and Richardson were there. So, again, I fully expect Vic to have a great season. Hopefully, he's fully healed from that ACL. Mm-hmm. It happened so early in the season. That's why I think the thought is being thrown around that he could be ready for OTAs. But I think the safer side will be training camp. Again, he was a great blocker by all accounts in his rookie season. He's a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. So, I think starting with Trent and him, that is a very solid 1-2 punch for this offense. Hopefully, sure up the offensive line. And again, I really think that this running game will step it up a notch in 2014.
Well, I caught up with Vic earlier in the week, and I asked him initially how his rehab's going.
It was going real good. Talking with the trainers, I'm a little bit ahead of the curve. I mean, that really don't matter to me. I just want to be, 100% for week one.
Is it your goal to be back on the field in the spring in OTAs, or you going to play it safe and make sure you're back 100% by training camp?
I mean, the earlier the better, but at the same time, I want to, play it safe and not rush things and have, other problems come up. So if I'm back by week one or back by OTAs, as long as I'm back, that's all that matters.
This team was just riddled with injuries, mm-hmm. especially on the offensive side of the football. You've got Reggie Wayne, yourself, Dwayne Allen, Donald Thomas up front. When you think about all of you guys, yourself included, uh-huh. getting back in 2014, this offense could be, watch out. This offense could be even more dangerous than it already is with Andrew Luck.
People saw glimpses of it, the first one or two games, and then all the injuries started happening. But, if we can stay healthy this coming year, I believe the sky's the limit for, not only the offense, just the team,
We're not sure how the depth chart is going to shake out as far mm-hmm. as running back is concerned for the Colts. But we do know two guys are going to be here next year, yourself and Trent Richardson. When you think about that, at least for now, you and Trent, that's a nice little 1-2 punch.
Oh, yeah, man. Really, throughout my whole career, with the exception of 2012, I always kind of been in a two-back system. And I like it because, running backs, you might think it taking cares out of your hand, but at the same time, whenever you're on the field, you're more fresh. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take the 20 and 30 carries per game and take that beat down. You can, come in and get a 10 to 15 carry game and two or three big plays in those 10 to 15 carries. So, having somebody to split the load with, that's, I like it.
You mentioned the two-back system.
Right.
In the modern day of the NFL, do you have to have two backs? I mean, there's a couple exceptions, mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson. Right. But we're seeing more and more teams go to two and three backs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a necessity, but at the same time, I feel like it has pros and cons. Like you said, you mentioned the Adrian Peterson. He can take the 20 and 30 carries per game, but, you don't know how his body feels, on Monday. But if you get a running back, two-back system, like I said, it takes pressure off both of the backs. That you're more fresh and you're able to sustain a longer season, without injuries.
Again, that's Vic Ballard on Horseshoe FAQ. Matt Taylor back inside the Taco Bell studio with Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. KB, wrapping up, there you go. He's talking about the two-back system, how you can benefit in the NFL this day and age from two backs. When I asked him earlier in the interview about, you know, him coming back, mm-hmm. Reggie Wayne, Dwayne Allen, Donald Thomas, his eyes lit up. You know, yeah. I was like, this was a pretty good offense last year.
Right.
It's like getting a slew of free agents back from all these injuries. His eyes just lit up, and he got really excited over that.
And Vic is in here every day. I see him in this building every day during the offseason. He's got his locker right in between Andrew Luck and Reggie Wayne, and he was kind of shocked at first. I remember during that rookie season when there was so much media around him, but he was the starting running back for this team for a large bulk of the 2012 season. And again, like you mentioned, Matt, I mean, there are so many weapons on this offense. If they can come back healthy, the Wayne, the Donald Thomas, the Dwayne Allen, the Vic Ballard, and pencil those guys next to T.Y. Hilton, Kobe Fleener. We saw, you know, the emergence of a lot of young wideouts, sure up the interior of this offensive line. And again, I see no reason why this Colts offense can't be not only in the top 10, but the top 5 in the NFL next year.
All right, good stuff as always this week, KB. What's going to be going on the website here in the near future?
It's just getting ready. Free agency, it starts a week from Saturday. You can start talking to free agents, and then March 11th at 4 o'clock is when things will be official. And last year we saw a slew of it happen right out of the gate, so I think I expect that to happen again. Again, a week from Tuesday, March 11th is when things can be official, 4 o'clock Eastern time. So, yeah, it's looking back at free agents from last year and seeing who Ryan Grigson might want to bring in here in 2014.
That's going to be nuts. It'll be here before you know it, a week from Tuesday of next week. My thanks again to Kevin Bowen for being here on Horseshoe FAQ, our weekly in-depth conversation on the Colts. When we come back, we'll close out the show. We'll lead you up to the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. At that point, the Indiana High School Sports Report will take over the airwaves. We'll have some fun. We'll also make our weekend predictions when we come back. Stay with us. This is The Last Word right here, FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Oh, yeah! It's quitting time. Time to clock out on The Last Word with Jimmy Bad Dog Matus and Matt Taylor.
You know, I was telling you during the break, Jimmy, I got a busy Saturday coming up tomorrow.
Got to get a lot of things done before the snow comes in on Sunday. Is that your plan?
Yeah, it's just one of those days, you know, where everything catches up to you at one time. You got a bunch of errands that snowball. Got to go to Office Max. I got to go to Office Depot, too. I got some home improvements I got to get done. I also need a new TV. So, obviously, you know where I'm going, right?
H.H. Gregg.
All your TVs are from H.H. Gregg, are they
all
not?
All nine of them.
You got a big house, too, so you're doing some business with H.H. Gregg. They're very appreciative of that. I'm going to H.H. Gregg because they know appliances and electronics. I don't, so I don't have to worry about it. They're just going to tell me what to get. In fact, H.H. Gregg is the official appliance and electronics retailer of the Indianapolis Colts. Back here for the final time. We're clocking out. Happy Friday to you. Your work week is over, so thanks for spending part of your early weekend with us. Jimmy Mad Dog Matus, I'm Matt Taylor inside the Taco Bell studio. Time now quickly for the Forum Credit Union question of the week. And this week's question comes submitted in from Bob King out of Greencastle. Bob wants to know, Jimmy, who was the last player to be taken in the NFL draft twice? Two times for a player. The last person.
I don't have a clue. I really don't. I'm going to say Charlie Ward.
Let me see here. Bob says Craig Erickson, last player to be drafted
Craig
twice.
Craig Erickson, he had a cup of coffee here with the Colts.
Sure did. Back in 1995, played 7 seasons in the NFL, 92-97, and then a year in 1999. 91, he was drafted in the 5th round by Philadelphia, and then a year later in 92, he was drafted in the 4th round by Tampa Bay. Craig Erickson.
I'll have to Google that.
Jim Kelly was drafted twice, wasn't he?
I don't think so. I mean, he got drafted, went to the USFL, went to the Gamblers.
Right.
And then to Buffalo, who I thought drafted him originally.
They did.
So I thought they just still had the rights to him.
We'll have to do some digging on Craig Erickson. Bob, we need more information. If you're going to submit a question, give us the background.
And if you already know the answer, Bob, why are you slowing me down?
Why even bother, Bob? It's time, dog, for You Are Wrong.
What's wrong with life?
What if you're wrong?
You're so wrong.
What if I'm wrong? Anybody could be wrong.
Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Jimmy, what do you got this week?
I think I'm going to make that. Can you make that my ringer?
Wrong, on my phone.
I need that for whenever, you know, if it recognizes when my wife's calling me, and then that comes up. That would give me a heads up.
It's a preview of what's
give
to come.
Give me a heads up. I do have a, because I was thinking about this today, because I'm going to be really ticked off on Sunday. If you think that we need 12-plus hours of Academy Awards coverage. You're wrong. I don't need to know who you're wearing, what you're wearing. I'm wondering why you're wearing it and why you're wasting my time talking about it. I don't need E. I don't need Entertainment Tonight. I don't need HGTV covering it. I don't
HGTV.
Need it. I don't want it.
What are they doing?
Why would you wear that? Is the show? I don't know. But
it's curb appeal.
It's
the Oscars.
Just what, whatever.
This,
you
this
know,
house.
Fix this dress. I don't know. But I don't need it. Don't want it. Yeah, what was I thinking? You're exactly right. I want to sit on my couch and watch rich people get free stuff.
I want to wake up at 9 a.m. on Sunday.
That's what I need in my life.
I need to be inundated with who's going to win best sound editing for a film. Whatever.
Pharrell Williams, happy for Despicable Me 2, I think was the shoe-in. Should beat the song from Frozen.
Where are we when cartoons are winning Oscars?
Take it easy.
You know what?
I would probably watch it if it was all cartoons.
It was in comic form.
I might watch it then.
Jimmy.
Bugs Bunny, what are you wearing?
Hey, when Bugs Bunny dressed up like a girl bunny, did you find him attractive?
Kind of.
Me too.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right, I got one. Wednesday's SEC matchup between Auburn and South Carolina. It was a fiasco. This is on the heels of what happened at Texas Tech with the Marcus Smart thing. Did you see the end of the WAC championship last night with the brawl?
I did not.
I mean, sports are out of hand. Kids, fans getting involved with officials, fans who are yelling at opposing players. If you yell at a player or yell at a ref, CYO, college, high school, professional, you're wrong. And let me tell you, not only does you standing up and yelling for no reason make you look foolish, but it takes the enjoyment out of being at the game live for fans around you. True story. I was at an IU game last year, basketball game, the ACC Big Ten Challenge where they played North Carolina.
Indeed.
At Assembly Hall.
Yep.
Okay, now for Indiana and North Carolina to develop a heated rivalry is pretty hard. Because they only
don't play each other enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Roy Williams, by all accounts, is a nice guy, hell of a good coach.
Absolutely.
The guy sitting next to me was a grown man, and when North Carolina came out of the tunnel and Roy Williams was introduced, he gave Roy the double barrel. He gave him a double bird salute before the game. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And now, I know this goes on with every fan base, and IU certainly no exception, but I'm thinking it just took the enjoyment right out of the game for me, because not only was I focused on the game, but I had to deal with this guy, you know, every dead ball yelling at the refs and getting on Roy Williams with a lot of inappropriate actions. So if you yell at players, you yell at officials, coaches, you're wrong.
Okay, I'm with you. All right, I'm with you.
Let's talk about something fun, something we know more about. It's time for Let It Ride.
It's prediction time. Play along and let it ride.
Strong showing by you last week. 6-1.
I missed one?
You missed one.
Man.
I was a disappointing 4-3. A couple of college teams let me down. But we start anew here in week number 5 of this show. Who you got? High school game of the week. Regular season finale for the boys tonight. 3A number 7, Brebeuf at 4A number 1, Carmel, the best team in the state. Entertains Brebeuf this evening.
I'll go with Carmel. P.J. Thompson has been playing very well for Brebeuf as of late, but it's Carmel's time. They get on their roll now. I go with Carmel.
I like Carmel as well. Northern Iowa is at Indiana State tomorrow. It starts our college basketball slate. Saturday at 1 o'clock, it's senior day for the Sycamores at home.
I'm going to go with the Sycamores on senior day and the fact that they're very, very good. A little dip here as of late, but I like Indiana State on Saturday.
Pittsburgh at Notre Dame tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh on the road. Pacers at Celtics tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
Pacers.
Pacers. Jazz at the Pacers Sunday at 6 o'clock.
Pacers.
Got to take the Pacers.
Although I'll be watching coverage of the Academy Awards.
You need to find a remote, my friend. You need to take over one of those 9 TVs you have. Purdue is at number 20, Iowa, Sunday, 2 o'clock.
I think Iowa bounces back and gets this one.
Fair enough. I'll take the Hawkeyes as well. Number 22, Ohio State is at Indiana, Sunday at 4 o'clock.
This is a tough one for me, but I'm going to stay with my Hoosiers. I'm going to go with IU at home. Although I think it's going to be a tough matchup for them against Ohio State.
You got to take Indiana just because they're at home.
Have you paid attention this year? The home court is not an automatic remedy for the Hoosiers this year.
Do you think
they've
Indiana,
stumbled a couple of times at home this year?
I agree. And
against competition that they were better than
Do you think Indiana beats Wisconsin or Michigan or Iowa on the road?
No.
They're at home. They're going to win. They're at home.
Okay, I'm with you. What was I even thinking? Of course, IU. In a route.
I'm just saying. It's probably one of the best home court advantages in all of sports. Assembly Hall.
It's certainly one of them, and you know, I love it. I'm a little biased, but right. I've been to a lot of arenas. There's some student sections that get after it.
They're at home. They're gonna win.
You were 4-3 last week, right?
I'm just saying. But you're picking him too.
Not anymore. I'm going to Ohio State. I've made my switch.
You can't flip-flop
like that. Okay, then I'll go Hoosiers.
You can't flip-flop on that pick like you're going to be flipping and flopping to the song later in your garage.
I got this. I get the shoulders moving. Dude, I'll tell you what. If the leg goes up, it's over. And once the leg goes up, the ladies sit down.
If you've never seen Jimmy Bad Dog Matus dance to this song at a wedding, you need to be invited to more weddings.
Smoothest fat guy in the city. No question about it.
I like it. Good work this week, my friend.
Thanks for being here. My pleasure.
Coming up, top of the hour, it's the Indiana High School Sports Report. Then at 7:15, Brebeuf and Carmel will have the call with Bob Lovell starting then. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday at 6 o'clock right here. This has been The Last Word, FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. So long, everybody.